Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, lock on. Peace.
Hello, hello, hello. And you know what time it is. If you haven't been aware, that song, that theme song has been playing for almost 2 years now, if not longer. It's the FSP Crew Show time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a cold, wintry day where I'm at in the East Coast and where Jeff's at, who happens to be my co-host. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff or me. We'll also have a chat room open. We do deal with the chat room all the time. You got any comment, question, make a statement. I say this all the time. You know the plan. You just get in the chat room, say your piece, and we'll deal with it one way or the other. It's always open season there. And without further ado, let me bring in my co-host, Jeff the Joker. Hopefully Black the Bookie will show up. Jeff, how you be on this cold, wintry day in Jersey?
I'm hanging in. Thank everybody for joining us. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm trying to survive. Crazy day, crazy weather, especially on the East Coast. Up and down the East Coast has been crazy weather. Snowfall south of us, heavy rains and winds on the East Coast, in the Midwest, in the Indianapolis and places of that. They had crazy snowstorm. So winter is definitely upon us. Happy holidays. That's a few days after Christmas and a few days before New Year's. It's right in between. It's been a heck of a year. A lot of crazy things happened. One thing I want to get out there, you put it on Facebook, and I used to watch this guy. I used to love him. He lived a long life. I'm talking about Felix Unger. I'm talking about Jack Klugman. He passed away recently.
Oscar Madison.
Oscar Madison, exactly. Oscar Madison, he passed away recently. He was the, I guess, the television version of a typical sports writer. He passed away recently. I remember him in a few other shows and movies, but he's well known for being not Felix Unger. That was Tony Randall. He was, yep. Oscar Madison. You're right. What was the name of the show? The Odd Couple.
That's right.
I think he was like 90 years old, 92 years old, something like that.
90 years old, yep.
It
almost slipped my mind. I posted that on my Facebook. And I don't post every celebrity who passes away on my Facebook, just the ones I like. And that was Jack Klugman. His real name is Jacob, nice Jewish boy from Philadelphia. And, yep, because I got an Uncle Jack, too, and his real name is Jacob. People don't think it's a Jewish name, but it kind of is.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, Jack is usually short for John. I never quite caught that, but it could also be short for Jacob, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That show was a classic show, and surprisingly, it didn't get great ratings, you know, the 5 years it was on the air, but it survived 5 years. But that show was so popular in reruns, especially in the New York area. The show took place in New York. They didn't film on location in New York because they didn't really need to because most of the action took place in the apartment. But that's one of the classic New York shows, and they showed that on Channel 11 in New York, which seemed like forever, and very, very popular show. And also Jack Klugman was Quincy, another successful TV show. And the character he played, he was a bit of a horseman and a horse player. And he owned a thoroughbred who 1 year finished third in the Derby, not too
right.
shabby.
Right.
And it got a lot of publicity. I remember that was a big deal, Jacqueline Klugman, which I thought was a filly at first, but it wasn't. But a third place in the Derby is pretty impressive.
It is very impressive, yes.
And I think I don't know how accurate the depiction was, but he was the old school sports writer. So it was way before ESPN or any of that. And two episodes of that show, they had his arch nemesis playing himself was Howard Cosell.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
And celebrity guest appearances, which usually sometimes means the show is on the way out, but at least they're trying. And shows always have guests. I mean, you only have so many cast members, and guests can kind of breathe a little life into a script.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're really good, they could become a recurring character. And then some shows, when they're struggling, they'll either add a character or they'll start trying to bring in the big-name guest. Now, also, Jack Klugman, his ex-wife on the show, Blanche, who he despised, the only thing he hated about his divorce was the alimony. He was very happily divorced. His ex-wife, Blanche, was also his real wife, but then they separated during the fourth season of the show, but they never got divorced, and she passed away a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah, Brett Summers was her name. She was also an actress. I think she was on game shows a lot in the 80s, I think Match Game or something like that, I think Match Game was it. And you know, she has, you know, a nice acting resume, and that was a recurring character, was Oscar's ex-wife, Blanche. Yeah.
Okay. And do you know that, hold on a minute here, Jeff, that there was another star that passed away the same day that Mr. Klugman passed away?
Charles Durning, right?
Exactly. Charles Durning. A lot of people don't remember him, because the name probably doesn't ring a bell unless you're a movie buff. And he played a lot of character roles, one of them being the Sting with Paul Newman and Robert Redford. He played the police detective, if you remember that. I don't know if you remember that or not.
He played a lot of cops.
Yes.
He's got a full resume, and I think the last... this wasn't the last movie he did, obviously, but the last time I saw him in a movie, I was watching Dog Day Afternoon, and he was the cop in that. And he was in a lot of big-time movies, a lot of very popular movies, and he was in supporting roles, character roles. But he's got some resume. I mean, he worked with so many big names, yeah.
Yep. Let me see. I'm looking on Dog Day Afternoon. You're right. He played in the Hindenburg. Played in Breakheart Pass. I don't know if you these are older pictures. Let me see now. What am I? See some of the other ones. The Greek Tycoon. I don't know if you know that. North Dallas 40.
He was one of the coaches in North Dallas 40. He played a lot of cops, coaches, that kind of thing. A lot of blue collar roles. But he was a very good actor and was in probably over 100 movies. I'd look it up if I could, but my internet is down.
He's a Tootsie. I'm just naming a few, some that people would know about. Tootsie, Scarface, he was in Scarface, Mr. Roberts, Death of a Salesman, the movie. I'm trying to think what other guy. Let me see, what else, other ones that you remember? Let me see, Dick Tracy, the Hudsucker Proxy, I'm looking through the Homicide. He was on Homicide, Life on the Street. That's right. He played a role in that TV series of Homicide also. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, he did some TV work, but I think he's mm-hmm. best known as a movie actor.
Okay, he played in a George Clooney movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That was a pretty good movie. I'm trying to think what other ones people may remember. Golden Boys and Rescue Me, which is the... That's basically it. I mean, there's other ones that I will remember, but I'm trying to just highlight the ones that most people would remember or have had an opportunity to see. He was also in Dick Tracy, the movie with Warren Beatty. He was in that movie. So there's quite a few movies that he was in that you would see him playing whatever type of character. And like you said, he did play a lot of police characters. All right. With that being said, I just wanted to get that out of the way. As you and I both know, this is the one of the best times of the year. It's near the end. Well, it's end of the fantasy, for all intents and purposes, it's end of the fantasy football season. Going into the second quarter of the NBA season. And before I get into football, I want to get into this thing about firing coaches in the NBA early into the season. First, it was 5 games into the season, the Lakers decide to go in a different direction and can Mike Brown. Now, Avery Johnson, coach of the month, I think that's what it was, coach of the month of October and November, because the Nets had an 11-4 start in their season. Now they are 4-11 in the last 3-11, whatever it is, 3-10, or whatever it is, in their last 13, 14 games. And he gets canned today. He gets fired today because of the bad start and supposedly some discourse with his point guard. I don't understand. You know, he started off 11-4. Now they're in a bad stretch. They're at 500, 14-14 right now, and you get rid of the coach. You get rid of one coach, 5 games into the season, and you get rid of another coach, 28 games into the season, and the Charlotte Bobcats are on a 13 game losing streak, and they still have their coach. I don't understand. Jeff, enlighten me. Maybe I'm missing something here.
Well, I was just thinking about the Nets. And, you know, the Nets are a lot like that New York football team that you used to root for, you know.
We're going to talk about that.
They're always the number two, you know. And New York is very unique, no pun intended. That's like a tongue twister.
Right.
For a sports market, and most people who don't grow up here don't quite get how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the only market in America with at least 2 teams in each major sport. Now, let's say Chicago has 2 baseball teams, but they don't have 2 football and 2 basketball, whatever. And, you know, L.A. has 2 in basketball and baseball, but they got none in football. But, you know, New York has a pair in all 4 majors if you count hockey. And I think the Nets are turning into the Jets. They're making these decisions that they don't just want to win, but they want to get headlines, and they want to put butts in the seat, of course, which in other cities you don't have to compete with another major league team. And the Nets finally made the big move to Brooklyn, and they're very conscious of the Knicks, who've been playing ridiculous. And, you know, maybe if they weren't so worried about what the Knicks were doing and the publicity and whatever, maybe they would have given Johnson a little longer. And it looks like, my hunch is, unless they go down the toilet, it's Carlos Amo's job. As long if they play halfway decent, they'll just, in a short time, make him the permanent head coach. I believe PJ is the interim head coach for now.
Right.
But that's what I think it is. I think the Jets, if they just all they did was focus on winning games, they'd be in much better shape. But I think they worry too much about the local media, the part of fans that are, and most fans in New York have a preference one or the other. But there are those casual, neutral type fans that everybody's always fighting over. And they worry about them, and they worry about all that stuff, and they should just worry about winning, because if you win, that takes care of everything else, you know.
Yeah, but I like Avery Johnson. I thought he was doing a good job. The Nets are in the toilet right now. I mean, all teams go through some type of slump. The Nets have an extended slump, but their point guard, the supposed big-time stud point guard, is playing like garbage. He's hurt now, if I'm not mistaken, and he's playing like garbage. And as is always, they don't get rid of the player. They get rid of the coach, and the coach suffers for the play of the point guard. They so much coveted in the offseason. They had to have him, and he's playing like garbage. And PJ Colissimo right now, like you said, is the interim. Word is, I've read several things on the internet and heard on TV that they may be putting feelers out for Phil Jackson. I don't know if Phil Jackson wants to come to the East Coast and deal with the weather and his health condition. I don't know if that's going to work with Phil Jackson, but you know Jay-Z and Boris have deep pockets. So they can offer him the world to try to lure him to the Brooklyn Nets. I almost said New Jersey Nets, Brooklyn Nets. And hopefully, not hopefully, but they're hoping he'll take the invitation with the a big paycheck in mind to coach the Nets. But we'll have to see what happens. PJ, I think, is going to be coaching tomorrow. They're even talking about they may have a coach in place by the first or second of the year, which is pretty quick. So they may have had things in motion, relatively in motion, undercover for a short time. And we'll bring it to fruition quickly. Anyway, with that being said, they also had in basketball, I don't know if you know this or not, Dwight Howard got thrown out of a game last night with a flagrant two, which was a legitimate flagrant two. And the comments made by the coach and made by Kobe, I don't have any clips, but Kobe said it was warranted, which is saying a lot. And the coach, for the most part, when he was asked, did it make a difference in a game, he more or less said it didn't make a difference in a game. So that sounds like, to me, they're not too happy with Dwight Howard, and they're pretty frustrated in the way Dwight Howard is playing. And this looks like a potential bomb waiting to explode. Just all of a matter of time when it's going to happen. I don't know if you heard anything about this, Jeff, but
yeah, I did. And you know, I didn't see the actual foul, but considering all the hard fouls that he takes, and the fact that he's a star, you think they'd cut him a break?
Well, no, they didn't cut him a break. I mean, he made a comment, I've been fouled like that before and never got thrown out of a game or
right.
Given
it
a...
I mean, because, you know, I mean, he can't shoot fouls to save his life, and he's gotten worse. Mm-hmm. So he's been getting fouled like crazy this year. And, you know, he keeps going to the line, and, he's, you know, he still can't get his fouls. It's embarrassing. I mean, I think he's worse than Shaq was. And people are always going to compare those two because they both started out in Orlando and then moved to L.A. And I don't think they get along, so mm-hmm. there's some friction there, whether it's manufactured or what. But, yeah, this guy's taking foul after foul. He commits one questionable one, and boom, he gets the boot. Go figure.
Right. Well, if you have seen the foul, he didn't attempt to block the ball. He hit the guy across the front of his face and across his shoulders with no attempt to try to block the ball. And I guess it was warranted that he was thrown out. I don't know what to say. Anyway, that's one circus in the basketball. Let's go to another circus in New York. He's not playing. He is playing. He's not playing. He is playing. He wants to play. They won't let him play. He says, I'm not going in for that. He says, no, I didn't say that. They say he did say that. All of those he said, he said, and he's not doing is we're talking about Mark Sanchez, Greg McElroy, Tim Tebow, and the Jet organization. One big, and it's been said over and over, one big circus, and it's gotten crazier and crazier. What I'm saying is this. First of all, Tim Tebow was accused of, in the press near the tail of last week, that he went to Rex Ryan and said that he rather not do the Wildcat anymore. He opted out of the Wildcat. And that's one reason why Jeremy Curley was involved in the Wildcat in the last game versus Tim Tebow. And then Greg McElroy, Tim Tebow was passed over in the last game because they wanted Greg McElroy to play. So he wasn't too happy about that. Now, today, Greg McElroy was working out. He was supposed to start this Sunday for the last week, and Sanchez and Tebow were going to sit on the sidelines while McElroy played. But he was working out in the weight room and came up with concussion-type symptoms. So what happens? Mark Sanchez was supposed to be the – who knows Mark Sanchez or Tim Tebow, what if they were 1 or 2, 2 and 3, or 3 and 2, don't know. Last game of the season, Sanchez got benched for McElroy. You would think since Tim Tebow never got a start this year, let's start Tim Tebow for the last game. No. We're going back to Mark Sanchez. Rex Ryan, I saw at press conference, he said, I feel more comfortable with Mark Sanchez being our starting quarterback. Quite naturally, Tim Tebow's not happy about it. You know what? They jerked this guy around unbelievably. I have nothing against this guy as a person. He's not a good quarterback. He's a good football player, but he's not a good quarterback. But no one deserved to get jerked around like this. This is huge, absolute huge. I can't stress this enough. Huge slap in the face to Tim Tebow that Mark Sanchez plays as bad as he did for as long as he did for the whole season. Tim Tebow gets sporadic snaps during all the games leading up to the two games that he was out because of his ribs. Sanchez gets benched. Tim Tebow was the normal backup to Sanchez. He doesn't start the next game, which is week 16. Greg McElroy starts, who's supposed to be the third string quarterback. He goes down with a concussion. Now, Tim Tebow, you think it would be his turn? Nope. Mark Sanchez comes back up here, and Tim Tebow is sitting on the sideline and supposedly is going to get some snaps. Jeff, I know that I went on and on and on and on, but I wanted to lay it completely out. What do you think, and I probably know what this is, but what do you think of the crazy-ass circus that's going on that the New York Jets have been perpetuating since the preseason, since minicamp, up until this last week in the regular season?
You know, I got to disagree with you, and it's not just for the sake of the show. If it's true that Tebow refused to do the Wildcat last week, I have no sympathy for him. You know what, like, he's the first guy to get jerked around by a coach. He's the first guy to get mistreated by his employer. He's getting paid much money, okay? Yeah, it stinks. Shut your hole and know your role, okay? Believe me, if that happened, he's lucky he wasn't suspended for that great cliche, conduct detrimental to the team. This kind of stuff happens to players all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If I could talk to he looks like garbage in practice. That's why he's not playing. I call him Timmy Game Day Tebow. If I could talk to Timmy Game Day, I'd say take a Buffering and stop suffering, okay? and I can't believe Tebow is showing commercials with Tebow. It's like, what, they were waiting for his 15 minutes to be up? And you know what the thing is? You know, suck it up, keep your mouth shut. I've had to do that at jobs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has.
Yes, exactly. And he's getting paid a lot more than I ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, there's only maybe a few teams in the NFL that might want to hire him for next year. He should not want to tick anybody off. I mean, I think his destination is, you know, probably going to be Jacksonville. But the thing is, it's like at a job, you know. If it's something you could take to upper management or take to a union or whatever, you do so. If not, you look for a new job, keep your mouth shut, you give your 2 weeks' notice, and even then, you giggle a little, but, you know, you fake it, you lie, and, you know, you pretend you have class and you go about your business. This is what I do.
Well,
and it's an act sometimes. And I'll tell you, let's say what you want about Sanchez. He says the right things. He's probably lying through his teeth. But at least he's smart enough to realize, hey, I want to stick around in this league for a while. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And you know, they've been underutilizing Tebow. Yeah, they probably BS'd him a little. Whoop-dee-doo. And you know what? Apples and apples comparison. Last year in Denver, he was the third-string guy. They bypassed Brady Quinn, and then they handed the job to Tebow, which the coaching staff did a masterful job of retooling that offense on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Brady Quinn, he didn't, you know, say anything or do anything. In a lot of these situations, I love to hear what these guys are saying in private.
Mm-hmm.
He got passed up. He was the number two guy, you
know? Right.
And I almost think last year in Denver, they started Tebow on spite because they thought, oh, he's going to stink. And then all the fans will get off our case to play the guy, you know?
Right.
And because the rest of the team rallied and because the coaching staff was so good, they started to win. And, you know, the rest is history. But I'm telling you, I've had it with Timmy Game Day. I really have. And
to his defense,
I'm not very sympathetic to him. Even if they did jerk him around, what'd he do? I don't care.
Well, in his defense, and I saw a part of what his interview, I guess in the locker room, he supposedly went back to Rex Ryan and said he would do anything to help the team win. So he said he would never opt out of anything.
He did that after they made the game plan and put it in. Too much, too little, too late. He's lucky he didn't get suspended. Yeah, his 15 minutes is up, at least in New York. I mean, and this just goes to show you, this is what happens when a team gets a guy to sell PSLs and to sell seats, and the coaching staff doesn't want the guy and maybe doesn't know quite what to do with him.
Well, you know, I got somebody holding on the line that happens to like Tim Tebow a lot. I do believe that. and it happens to be Mikal. I'm going to bring him on to see how what he thinks about what's been going on in New York in the last few days. Welcome, my brother. How you doing? Have you listened to the conversation?
Yes, sir. I ain't too much of a T-Bow lover, man.
Oh, I thought you were.
Nah, man. I switched trains.
Oh, maybe you know, maybe, I'm mixing you up with Mac.
No, you had me right. Uh-huh. When that Baylor train came through Texas last year, uh-huh, I jumped off the T-Bow one and got on that Baylor one that came right on up to D.C. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm
okay.
Jeff was right on target with it though. He was right on target with it. Uh-huh. You know, it's time for him to just both of them dudes to just go on, and they need to do it quietly.
Well, you know, nothing in New York is done quietly. Jeff and I, we live on the East Coast, and nothing is ever done quietly, especially when it has to do with the Jets and the circus that's been going on for most of the year. That's not going to be done quietly. It hasn't been done quietly from the beginning, and it's quite naturally toward the end of these two guys' time in the Jets organization, it's not going to be done quietly either.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you're here. How you been? And I hope you enjoyed your holiday.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've been good. How have you guys been? How was your holiday?
Oh, good. Good. Can't complain. I'm looking forward to bringing in the new year, just like everyone else. With that bringing in the new year comes by the 1st or by the 31st, of New Year's Eve, all the teams will be set, and it's playoff scenarios with 1 week to play in the regular season. There are still lots of questions when it comes to the 2012 NFL playoff field. In the AFC, 6 teams are set, but many of the seeds are still up in the air. In the NFC, 4 teams have clinched a playoff berth, with 2 divisional titles still up in the air and 5 teams battling for the final 2 playoff spots. I'm going to go down the scenarios and the current seating in both conferences, and the more interesting ones are in the NFC, so I'm going to leave that to last. I'm going to start with the AFC and then we'll go to the NFC. In the AFC, quite naturally, the number one seed, and it's not because it's the Texans, not because I'm a fan, it just happens to fall that way. The Texans have clinched the AFC South, and they can wrap up the number one seed with a win over the Colts. The Broncos have clinched the AFC West and can wrap up the number two seed with a win. They can also earn the number two seed with a win and a Houston loss. They could drop to number three if they lose and the Patriots win. The Patriots, quite naturally, are playing the Dolphins. They've clinched the AFC East. They clinched that a few weeks back. No problem there. They clinched a number one seed with a win and a loss from the Broncos and the Texans. Now, that's a long shot. They can clinch a number two seed with a win and a loss from the Broncos or the Texans, or they can fall to the number four seed if they lose and Baltimore wins. That's crazy. The number four seed, which is the Ravens, they're at the Bengals. This is going to be a tough game. They've clinched the AFC North. They can move up to number three if they win and the Patriots lose. They can't move down. The Colts, they've clinched the number five seed, and they can't move up or down. They're stuck in the number five seed. And the same thing with the Bengals. Now, because you guys are two NFC East-type guys, or NFC-type guys, and especially in the NFC East, you guys are heavily involved in the playoff scenario. I'm going to start from number one, and I'm going to end up with Jeff's favorite team. Number one is the Falcons. They've clinched the NFC South and the number one seed. They can't go anywhere. They can't drop. It's done. The Packers has clinched the NFC North. They can wrap up the number two seed with a win against the Vikings. They could drop to number three if they lose and the 49ers win. 49ers is at the Cardinals. San Francisco clinched a playoff spot. They can wrap up the NFC West and secure a home playoff win, with a win. They can move up to the number two seed with a win and a Packer loss. They would move to the number five seed with a loss and a Seattle win. Wow, a number five seed. They're 10-4-1. Wow. Washington. This is in McCown's wheelhouse. Washington quite naturally can clinch the NFC East and the number four seed with a win over the Cowboys. They could earn a wild card berth, which is the number six seed, with a loss if Minnesota and Chicago both lose. And Minnesota's playing the Packers, and Chicago is at the Lions. Seattle is playing the Rams. They've clinched the playoff spot. They can win the NFC West and earn a number three seed with a win and a 49ers loss. They can't move down. So they're stuck in the wild card spot, but they can move up and get the number three seed if the 49ers lose and they win. The Vikings versus the Packers, and this is very interesting because the Vikings can clinch the number six spot with a win, and they would get in with a loss if Chicago, Dallas, and the Giants all lose as well. Okay, the Bears can clinch a wild card with a win and a Vikings loss. That's a very strong scenario there. I think the Bears can do that. The Cowboys is at the Redskins. Quite naturally, I talked about the Redskins already, but I'm going to talk about it again. Dallas can clinch the NFC East with a win. They cannot earn a wild card spot. And here's the other scenario that's going to interest Jeff, which is, in my opinion, a long shot. Giants can earn a wild card with a win plus losses by the Bears, Cowboys, and Vikings. And they play the Eagles at the Eagles. Okay. Seahawks, Vikings, Bears, Cowboys, Giants, Redskins. I'm going to give it to first to Jeff, then Mikal. Who is the least likely of those teams to not make it to the playoffs?
Well, I hate to say it, but it doesn't look good for the Giants because even if they win, three other teams must lose. So if each of those is a 50-50 shot, that means even if the Giants win, there's only a 1-8 shot approximately of them making the playoffs. And you know what? They brought that mess on themselves because they did. And I hate this nonsense you hear about teams controlling your own destiny. Every team controls their own destiny because every team starts off 0-0, unless you're the Packers who got screwed out in one game, but they shouldn't have let that go down to the last play anyway. They should have handled their business earlier.
Right.
And the Giants, and this is one of the ironies of the team in the Tom Coughlin era, and this is a big except for the two Super Bowl years, they fall apart late in the season every year. And this year seems to be following that trend. And the past 2 weeks, they had big games. And they didn't just lose. They lost badly.
Mm-hmm.
And too many people get hung up on, oh, this team, they got to win, so they're going to win. And they get hung up on that. And, hey, you know, even if they're out of the playoffs or even if they clinch, the opponents, they get paid, too. They get bonuses, too. And they're not going to, most NFL teams aren't going to just roll over. And,
right.
You know, and when some people, when they're gambling, they make that mistake. Those are, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, bet large on this team because they got to win. And Giants are proof that that doesn't win a ball game. You still got to show up and prove it no matter what. And the thing is, especially when you're a defending Super Bowl champ, you got a target on your back. You got to show up every week because everybody wants to beat you. And you can't just turn it on when you feel like. And I think part of the problem is the pass rush, you know, with that front four hasn't been what it was. And they can't blitz because, well, they could, but they don't have a good secondary. So they really need to get the heat with the front four. They start blitzing, it really exposes that secondary.
Right.
You know, that's part of the problem. You know, there's other problems too, of course. But it doesn't look good for the Giants. But if there's a miracle, and the thing is, you know, they're not. I'm sure they'll be looking at the scoreboard, even if they're physically not looking at it. That Dallas Washington game is at night, so that's
yes.
just a prime time game. And I'll tell you, Romo has had the knock on him for years as a choker. And, you know, he just can't get rid of that. But if they could win a big one on prime time with everybody watching, he'll maybe start to get that, lose that rap a little bit. But then unless they go far in the playoffs, they'll still be known as a choker, you know. But that's going to be a very interesting Sunday night game.
Mikal, posing the same question to you.
The team that I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, if they're in this thing, Jerry. I think the Detroit Lions will not be going to the playoffs, and this is exactly why. Because
Detroit can't.
Detroit in that list you gave me?
Yeah, but they're playing the Bears. The Bears can clinch a wild card with a win over Detroit and a Vikings loss.
So the Lions aren't even in this discussion, really. They just could just be spoilers.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hey, Mac, how you doing? Anyway. I completely agree with Jeff. I think the Giants and the Cowboys are who we think they are. I think they are who we think they are. They are crumbling right now. They are beginning to crumble. I think the Giants have been crumbling a little bit longer, and you know they had a little bounce, but they still crumbling. They still
mm-hmm.
crumbling.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Cowboys just need a little bit of pushing and nudging before they go ahead and do it.
Okay.
I believe they want to do it, but they just need some more pushing and nudging because they figured out what I was telling them earlier in the season. Throw the ball to Dez Bryant. Throw it to him. They figured that out, but
yep.
I don't know if that's going to be enough.
Let me get it before I bring in your cousin, because he's on the line. He's been waiting for a couple minutes here. Before I bring in your cousin, Mr. Gardner, I'm going to give you an interesting stat. Since 2000, Tony Romo in game 17s, 2-10.
History.
Yes.
That's what them Cowboy fans like to be screaming out to all the Redskin fans. Historically and statistically speaking. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right.
And with that
2-10.
With that being said, let's bring in your cousin and Mr. FSP, Mr. Vic Gardner. Hello there, sir.
What's going on, Jerry? Don't sound so mad at me, dude, because you know I'm right. I wasn't wrong. But I wanted to play some music, which I'm going to play Saturday. You know, all I do is win, 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 no matter what. You're listening to the champion.
Vic, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. The brag about the Parlay Palace, but you know what? I would be a very humble person because, I'm not even going to premise it. I'm not even going to bring it up on this show, because it's not pretty. It's not pretty.
But it's true. We can talk about it, but we'll talk about the Parlay Palace for now.
Okay.
The truth is, I was right. Maybe I did mess up, but I was absolutely correct.
Well, we can talk about it on your show because we can go back and forth, and I think we'll be going back and forth with this. because I got my opinion on it, and I know you're not going to agree with anything I have to say. So
no, I didn't say I wouldn't agree. I didn't say I wouldn't agree with it, but
yeah.
I would say this: that you know, it could have been done better. It could have been done better.
You panicked, man. You panicked.
Anyway, let's go on to the parlay, pal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I figured when I said that, you want to change the subject.
No, we can talk about it.
The other two callers, they have no idea what we're talking about. So
okay.
How about we table this until Saturday? How's that?
That's fine.
Okay.
But,
Jeffrey,
I just want to say you were a very good competitor. Black, you were a good competitor. And Beast Mode, stay in your cage.
Well, thank you, Vic, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah,
okay.
You feel better now?
I mean, I'm saying that's why Black was scared to put me in the first place. He knew I was going to run all over it.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
Like I did.
Oh, boy. Black's not here, but hopefully he'll be on Saturday, but he's not here. So hopefully he'll be on Saturday. And then you can rub it in his face also.
Well, that's all the rubbing I'm going to do.
That's okay. Congratulations, Mr. Gardner. You played very well this year. You were very fortunate. Yeah, well, like I said.
Okay, I'll be gracious.
And like I said, and I've always said, fantasy football is part skill and part luck. So, and you got to be a little of both. And I'm not saying you were lucky, but that some weeks a little luck is fortunate for the person who wins and unfortunate for the person who loses. So it just works that way. That's just the nature of the beast. And everything fell your way, and you did. You've drafted well. You played each matchup each week well, and you came out on top when it counted the most. So I tip my hat to you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
You. And that'll happen at the end of this week as well.
You know what? Let's not talk about that now because that's.
I'm in two other championships, Jerry. I'm in two other championships.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Anyway, well, now the subject we were talking about, out of four teams, five teams, whatever it was, Redskins. What was it now? The Vikings, Bears, Cowboys, and Giants. I think that's what it was. Who has the least chance or the most difficult chance of getting into the playoffs?
The Giants, of course, because the Giants need so much help.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to look at it, they're now stunning.
I've laid out the scenarios. I just wanted to get your opinion.
Now. Well, I say that it's. Oh no, not in time, sir. I'll say that.
Are you with me or are you with somebody else?
I'm with Vic right now. I'm with you as well. When my son was going, you got to redo that, Vic. But get on the floor because right now I'm a little distracted. The thing is, the Giants have so much to work on. You know, first they got to win. Then they need the Vikings to lose. They need the Cowboys to lose. And they need the Bears to lose. Now, it's all probable. But, you know, the Vikings might be getting a little extra help because Green Bay, they don't need to play all their players for the whole game. They'll probably play like a half a game and then put their secondary people in. And that eliminates the Giants.
The Packers are playing for the number two seed.
Well, yeah, but they can still be the number two seed if things fall their way. You know, if they win, they can, you know, it enhances it. It enhances it. But, you know, if the Bears get in, that means everything has fallen into place and the Packers can still be the number two seed with a loss. So it's possible. Because if the 49ers lose and the Seahawks win, but the Redskins win, the Seahawks can't be the number three or number two seed. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of ifs, buts, and whatnot going on. But the bottom line is that the best team that controls their own destiny is the Chicago Bears. If they win, they're in. They don't need anybody's help.
No.
You know?
You're wrong. The Chicago Bears. Wait a minute. Just listen to me.
What the hell are you talking about, cuz?
Chicago can clinch a wild card with a win and a Viking loss. So the Vikings have to lose in order for Chicago to get in, but Chicago has to win. So if they win, they still can't get in. Can't get in.
So it's the Vikings that controls their own destiny. They win, they're in. It was one of the two. The Bears or the Vikings.
If the Vikings
play destiny the best out of all of them. Well, and that's the Redskins you talking about.
No, because if the Redskins lose, they have a shot. They need other people to lose. So that's the thing. The Redskins don't control their
own destiny. They control their own destiny. What are you talking about?
Listen, if they win, okay. There's a couple things, though. There's a couple things with it, though. If they win, yes, they're in. But if they don't, they need help. There's only one course of action for the Vikings. If they win, they're in. If they lose, they're done. Just like the Giants.
The Redskins win, they're in. If they don't, they're done. Both of those two teams have to lose in order for them to get in. And that's not going to happen. Chicago is not going to lose on the same day. They're not.
But, Mike, that's what I'm saying. The only team that truly controls their own destiny is the Vikes. Because if they win, they're in. They can't get any type of help.
You saying this. And you my blood. Oh, my goodness.
You understand what I mean by that? There's more than one way for the Redskins to get in. There's only one way for the Vikings to get in. That's the whole point of saying you control your own destiny in that sense.
The Vikings have more than one scenario. Minnesota can clinch the number six spot with a win. They would also get in with a loss if Chicago, Dallas, and the Giants all lose as well.
Right. Right.
So if all four of those teams lose, and even if Minnesota loses, but if all four of those teams lose, Minnesota still gets them with the number six spot.
Right. And then looking at your theory, the way you're talking about it, applying your theory, the Dallas Cowboys have more control. Because they win, they in. They lose, they out. There's no in-betweens for them.
Well, then it goes to the Cowboys, in my opinion. Because I'm being honest. I don't like the Cowboys, and you know this.
Dallas
their true destiny. Dallas
can clinch the NFC East with a win. They cannot earn a wild card spot.
Correct.
Right.
Exactly. So, therefore, they control their own destiny.
They do not control their own destiny, you idiot!
How do they not control it? How do they not control it, Michael? If they win, they're in. If they lose, they're out.
You idiot. They are backed up in the corner. They got no other way in. God. Not a control destiny.
Exactly.
It's up against the ropes.
Michael, can they get help from anybody? Yes or no? Can they get help from anybody other than themselves to get in the playoffs?
They're up against the ropes.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. Can't anybody help them get a playoff?
You sound crazy. You are looking at this with some irrational logic. You're crazy.
Really? Can anybody help them get in the playoff? Yes or no?
This is not even some type of
good applied logic at all, what you talking about. The Cowboys in the corner, they swinging. They got to come out swinging everything with all they got. And this is what we want. We want them to come out the corner with every ounce of what they got. But they're going to fall back on this. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, we lost because we wanted to get rid of Jason Garrett. I already done heard them. They done already got their lives together.
Well, my question is this then, okay? I want to pose this then. Tony Romo, like I stated before, since 2000, is 2-10 in Game 7 teams. So he doesn't have a good history, but he's been playing well up until this game. I'm not saying he's not going to play well. I'm going to pose this scenario. Redskins play the Cowboys, the Cowboys lose. Tony Romo goes down as a loser again in the Game 17. I'll go to Vic first, then Jeff, and then McCown. Is Jason Garrett safe?
Yes. He is safe.
I can't hear you.
He is safe. He's safe because of the fact that once you gave him a running game, he showed you what that whole team can do. The whole team responded, not just the offense, not just the defense, but the entire team responded with better play once DeMarco Murray got back. Jason Garrett is safe. Now, had they lost like a week before they played New Orleans, I'd be singing a different tune. You know, without DeMarco Murray, any coach is going to look bad with Felix Jones as their top running back because nobody's scared of Felix Jones. So I say, yeah. I say Jason Garrett is safe, win or loss.
How about you, Jeff?
You know, it depends on the available options. And if Sean Payton is available, you never know. He might be out of a job.
Okay. McCaff?
I have no idea. And I'm going to tell you why. Jerry Jones. I don't know. Some days he acts like, you know, a CEO and businessman. Other days he acts like a mangina that just lost, you know, something. So I don't know. It would depend on how he acts after the game. I need to see that. I would have to see that. Other than that, I can't base my opinion. But
okay.
Because he handpicked this dude. He handpicked him. He wanted him. He liked him, you know, and he can, you know, control everything the way he wants. He can do everything that he wants now. And, you know, he got a new stadium, so it's not too much he really wants. It's not too many, you know, it's not too much he got to pitch the team to sell for something. He don't. He had to get it like a Bill Parcells in there back then so they can, you know, keep that deal going to build this stadium. Now he got who he want in place. He got stadium, big screen, team, whatever. He can do whatever he want.
Okay. We got about a minute and a half here. So I'm going to go around the horn. And I probably know this answer, but maybe I don't because I've gotten different answers from Mr. Gardner. Before, so, but I'm going to ask this, and I know we're going to pose it on Saturday, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Starting with Jeff, two questions. Do the Giants beat the Eagles, Jeff, and who wins the Redskins-Cowboy games? And I'm going to pose that to each one of you.
All right. Giants will beat the Eagles, but unfortunately, they need too much help from too many teams. And I think Redskins are going to beat Dallas. It's just a gut feeling. I'll tell you, just the side of this, the Seahawks have been playing so well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they, you know, and I'm not a big Pete Carroll fan, but, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. And that day, I bet you a lot of people are going to be picking them for the big one next year. But I got to get running, guys. It's been great. Happy New Year to you three and everybody else. Take it easy.
You too, Jeff. Take
Thanks,
care.
Thank you, Jeff. Bye-bye.
All right. Mikhail, talk to me. Both questions.
I like the Eagles against the Giants. You know, they got Mike back, and Mike is going to have something to prove. I think he's going to get out there and, you know, put them boys out their misery. You know, I hope he does. He's got the momentum and the motivation to do it. This Redskins Cowboys game, man, I got no clue. I am picking my red and gold, and I'm gonna tell you that is totally biased because I'm a straight Homer McFanboy on it, but. It seems as though, I mean, there are a couple of things that concern me for the Redskins. I don't know the full health of that young man's knee. If that young man was 100%, it's lights out. But the youngin, he playing at probably like 85%. They can run, if they want to run that offense with a quick little, boot to the outside or something like that. There's no design run. It'll be that straight Shanahan Bronco style.
Mm-hmm.
Be a good game, but I don't know if it's enough. And that defense can't hold water for four quarters. They're gonna pop a hole in it in one of those quarters. They're either let it go all open up in the first quarter and second quarter and then close it up third and fourth. But here lately they've been shutting it down in the first half and then coming back in the second half and letting everything slide. So I have no idea. I have no idea. But I will be watching.
Okay. What about you, Mr. Gardner? Both questions.
I think the Giants are going to come out and do all that they can to make a statement and try to win this game. Unfortunately for them, Michael Vick is doing the same thing because he's got a job he's trying to get next year. I just think that New York is a way better team once they get everything working together. If David Wilson gets around that corner, David Wilson is gone. And unfortunately, the Philadelphia Eagles defense has given up on the season. And Andy Reid's going to go 0-9 in his last nine games as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Fantasy-wise, it'll be great. It'll be great fantasy-wise. But other than that, I'm not for the Giants. Now, when you talk about Redskins and Cowboys, Redskins haven't swept the Cowboys in 17 years. That's pretty much 17 years. You know, I'm 36, about to be 30. They haven't swept it since I was 20. You know, that says something. Again, like my cousin said, depending on Robert Griffin's knee, will determine how afraid the defense is against Robert Griffin. Because that's the only reason why they couldn't do much against the Skins on Thanksgiving. Because they were afraid of what he could do running outside of the pocket. Alfred Morris had a good game, but that was because they were afraid of RG3. We'll see what happens. D'Angelo is going to have his hands full with Dez Bryant, who's on fire. Santana, he needs to step up, and Policy needs to step up, and all the other folks need to step up. I don't think the Skins to win, but it's going to be close, just like the last game. It was a one-point game last time. I think it'll be a one-point game this time.
Like a five-point game last time.
They won by one. They won by one.
You thinking of the Giants. Get your head together.
They beat the Cowboys, what was it, 31-31.
And they kneeled down on a touchdown. What are you talking, man? Come on, man. Get it together.
What was the score? I look it up right now.
38-31.
It's on NFL right now.
38-31, okay. All right. Well, I think it's going to be a close game. And I think the Skins win, but I don't think it's going to be a game that says, okay, Seattle is coming in to FedEx and going to just run our offense against us with a slower but better effective quarterback. Yes, I said it. Russell Wilson is a more effective quarterback than RG3.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, my goodness. I didn't say what's wrong with
him. Hey, what did you do to him? Did you
Russell,
do something to him?
Shut up. Just listen. Explain.
She's been putting in your food. Something's wrong with you.
Why. I'll explain why I think Russell Wilson is better than RG3 at this point in the season. Russell Wilson has less to work with, but it's put up better numbers than RG3. They both have solid running games, but RG3 has stellar wide receivers or good or decent wide receivers. Sidney Rice is no longer a good wide receiver. He's an okay wide receiver. Golden Tate, nada. Jeff Baldwin, nada. So I think, and Russell Wilson has thrown the ball better than RG3. He has thrown the ball better than RG3. So
he's thrown the better. Really?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
You know what? Every week, I tell a lot of people about your show, and I tell them how knowledgeable you are. But you sound like a damn fool right now. You sound like you don't even know nothing about football. How in the hell?
Have you been watching?
That boy,
have you been watching?
And then Robert Griffin III. When Robert Griffin had less interceptions, the youngest point passes. Get out of here with these two youngins. I will admit, these two youngins are very, very close. Very, very close. With a slight edge going to RG3. Just because the youngest total speed, that youngin hit one hole and he's gone. You're not catching him.
I got that, but he's not reading a defense as well
as Russell Wilson. Put you in the mind of like a Fran Tarkenton type of dude. I don't like youngin. I like him, but well, you sound crazy. You saying he's throwing a better ball than him? Get out
right
of here.
Now, At this point in the season, Russell Wilson has been able to throw the ball a lot more than he has or was early on in the year.
That may be true, Vic, but I'm looking at the QB rating right now
from
ESPN, and who's number 6 and who's number 8? Robert Griffin III is 71.1, and Russell Wilson is 70. Griffin III is has a better QB rating than Russell Wilson. True Russell Wilson has been playing better, but him playing better is only getting him closer to Robert Griffin III, who's already playing better than Russell Wilson.
Thank you.
I'll say this, that when they added the read option to Seattle's offense, that's when they started letting Russell Wilson be.
When they added what?
The read option. They
the read
run
option?
The read option.
When
they
added
run the
read option, do you know?
Yes.
When they added the read option, do you know whose success they was looking at?
Guy, can I get to that? I said once they started doing it, they opened up the offense for Russell Wilson. No longer was he just throwing the ball 12 to 15 times a game. Recently, over the past 4 weeks or so, he's been throwing the ball maybe 20, 25 times a game, and he's had a great deal of success with it. They're not just a Marshawn Lynch-led offense.
I know
what
that.
What I'm saying, and the whole point of me saying that is, And I said it earlier, as of late, Russell Wilson has been the better quarterback because he's been more accurate throughout the season. You don't see him throwing dirt balls. I've seen RG3 throw several dirt balls, okay? I've seen that. But at the same time, both of them were limited in their passing. RG3 threw, he averaged maybe 24, 25 passes a game, you know, which was almost double what they were allowing Russell Wilson to do. Now that Russell has the same type of game plan and able to throw the ball about the same amount of times, you're seeing his ability to break down a defense better than just going to his first and second option.
I don't have the stats, but just by watching the games, I can say without a shadow of a doubt that the Washington Redskins receivers have dropped more balls than Seattle.
Oh,
right.
I agree.
Right. They've been dropping balls all year long.
But he's been throwing more balls all year long. You haven't had a lot of balls thrown from Russell Wilson until the last 4 weeks or so.
Yeah, but if you drop a ball, that's going to take away from your rating, your accuracy. Not accuracy, but it's going to take away from your rating. So I understand what you're saying about Russell Wilson playing better, but I'm still going to stick to the fact is he's playing better and he's bringing up whatever stats you want to talk about to where RG3 is at right now.
Yeah, because they had just given him the same type of offense as RG3 has been running the entire year. I mean, I don't know why y'all not seeing that. If you say Russell Wilson,
hear what you said. When they gave him an offense like Robert Griffin III's offense.
Okay, let me pose this question to you, Vic. Let me pose this question to you then, Vic, and see where your head's at with this. Starting off from game one, Robert Griffin III running the same offense he's been running all year, and Russell Wilson running this offense that he's presently running, who's the better quarterback?
That's running the same offense currently?
That he's running right now, not what he was running earlier in the season. So
Russell Wilson actually is running the read option better right now than RG3 because
folks aren't
used to seeing him go out of the pocket and take off three or four times a game. They are used to him turning around, handing the ball off to Marshawn Lynch and getting out the way. Or taking the ball back in an obvious pass situation and trying to make something happen through the air. But with the read option, teams are now having to account for his mobility that he's always had. So, I mean, if you look at it, if RG3 had to run the same offense that Russell Wilson ran at the beginning of the season, his numbers wouldn't be as good either.
No. No.
Are you serious?
I'm real serious. You sound like an idiot right now, Slim.
Kirk Cousins got the basic offense when they a regular pro offense when they played Cleveland. They ran a shotgun basic offense for RG3. They didn't put him under center last week that many times. What I'm trying to tell you is,
well, they didn't put him under center that time because of his knee injury. To give him a better chance of not getting any pressure and damaging that knee more. So they gave him that space that you can get when you are in the shotgun to be able to read the offense and be able to get out of the pass rush when it comes.
I got that. And my whole point, go back and do that. But what I'm saying is that they couldn't run the read option last week because of his knee. Right?
Okay.
He had, 189 or whatever like that passing, and I forget how many touchdowns he threw or whatever the case may be. But Alfred Morris
did you see the pass to Santana?
Yeah, I saw the pass, but did you? Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson threw four touchdowns as well.
No, bruh. You need to look at that. You need to look at that pass again. You need to look at that pass.
I saw it. I was there. What I'm getting to is that Russell Wilson threw less passes last week, had more touchdowns, and but he had, what, 167 yards? RG3 had 189?
Oh, my God. So, you know what? You are an idiot. Oh,
really?
RG3 has a bad knee right now. What are you talking about, Slim? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about pure quarterback rating. He's not whole, Slim.
That's the whole thing that we both just said. It depends on him being able to be all the way him.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I'll say this. If you make them both the same, right? Both of them are you know, on the same playing field, running the same offense. RG3 is faster and is a threat to take off with the ball around the corner than Russell Wilson. Got it. But if we're talking about pure QB just throwing the ball, it's no comparison because.
Oh my God! Really?
Did you really say that?
Yeah, he really said that. And he really believes it.
Look at the touch on the ball from Russell Wilson on all of his passes.
What touch on the ball are you looking at with Robert Griffin? Really?
Robert throws the ball behind his receivers a lot, and he throws into the ground a lot. The receivers have to go down a lot to make open, wide open passes. And if you're telling me I'm smoking, you need to look at the games. Because I'm telling you, you're smoking.
You know why I'm telling you you're smoking? It's because you're not watching him play, and you don't know how he plays. The short to mid-range passes are going to be like that with him. He's a deep-range thrower. If you know anything about when he plays, he has pinpoint passing deep on the deep throw. And then if you know about the Redskins offense, they want to run the mid to short. And then they play the linebackers up on a running back. Come on, man. We go all day with this nonsense.
But you just made my point for me, Mike. You just made my point.
No, I didn't make no point for you. I just showed you something. You've notoriously been this way a long time, and you do it on your own show over and over again. It's like you land base either where you're coming from or what you about. I don't get it. You do it all the time.
Listen.
Just like the whole Pacquiao thing.
We're not talking about Pacquiao right now. But the point is, you just said that RG3. Is a better deep ball passer, and his balls are going to be bad, short, and mid-range. And I'm telling you that...
Right, which is why he is a better quarterback, because he makes you defend every inch of grass. What are you talking about?
That Russell Wilson's short, medium, and long balls, they're not all exact, but they are better balls thrown. We just gonna have to
disagree with this. I'm gonna roll with my team and the quarterback here. You know what I want? The one that came out with the read option, and then the team that you talking about, the Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson. Yeah, they took and looked at the success that Robert was having and then applied it to him. I'm gonna stick here. You go ahead and continue to what you doing. That's you, not me. I don't disagree with you.
We disagree. I agree that they saw the success that RG3 was having and said, you know what, we have a quarterback, if not better, that can do the same thing. And they gave it, they opened up the playbook. That's what I'm telling you. That because they saw that they had
that's because
a quarterback
that's their quarterback. That's their quarterback. That's their quarterback. Everybody thinks their quarterback is better, just like I think my quarterback is better.
But I'm being objective. RG3
I don't have to be objective.
Wait a minute. I don't have allegiance to either quarterback. And true, Russell Wilson is a very good quarterback.
But I think Robert Griffin is definitely the better quarterback of the two.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's more upside to Robert Griffin than there is to Russell Wilson.
So if Russell Wilson was 6'2",
I ain't got nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. I don't care. That has nothing to do with it. Nothing.
Can I finish it? Yeah, it does, because all these prognosticators and all these coaches said that if Russell Wilson was 6'2",
I never said
he would have been a top three. I didn't say you. I'm talking about the pros. They're saying that if Russell Wilson was 6'2", he would have easily been within the top three and would have been the top three quarterbacks taking him as draft.
No. You're wrong there, Vic. You're wrong there, because in fact they didn't think Russell Wilson's ability, not his size, was good enough to be in the NFL. That's why he didn't get picked until the fourth or third or fourth round, whatever, he got picked by Seattle. It had nothing to do with his size. It had to do with his ability.
It was his size, guy.
It had to do with his ability, because if it wasn't just his size, a lot of other teams, Seattle wouldn't even gone with him if they thought that his size made a difference.
Pete Carroll would have went with him because he says Pete Carroll gives people all types of chances.
Let me put it this way: if it was just his size, it was his ability. He coming out of Wisconsin, which is a running team, which produces runners out of Wisconsin for the most part, not passers. They didn't think too much of his passing ability coming out of Wisconsin. That's not his size. Maybe size had a little bit to do with it, but for the most part, his quarterback ability had to do with where he got drafted into the fourth round, not his size.
I disagree. From what I was – Todd McShay and my man from NFL Network both said that had that guy been a little taller – and even John Gruden said when he did his quarterback camp thing that had Russell Wilson be a little bit taller, he would be in the top three, top five quarterback. And
well,
that's
a bunch of bull, because the fact is there's been quarterbacks in history that have done well with so-called, in quotation marks, being short quarterbacks. Drew Brees. Steve Young, to name a few. If you have the ability, you can play in the league. Stigma of being some so-called short quarterback. Now, if you were 5'7", 5'6", I can understand it. But you're 5'10", 5'11", come on. One inch doesn't make that much of a difference in a quarterback, especially when Drew Brees and Russell Wilson are relatively the same size. They can't throw over linemen. They have to throw through lanes just like any other quarterback for the most part, because most quarterbacks aren't the size of their linemen. So they have to throw through lanes and not throw over the top of them. So it was his ability. Now, they can say it after the fact, that the only reason he got picked late, now that they see what kind of ability he has, was because of his size. When push comes to shove, when rubber meets the road on draft day, or pronosticators were talking about it, they were talking about him not being up to the level of Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III, not because of his size, because of his ability.
I'll tell you like this, that, you know, quick match. I love RG3. I really do. I just think currently, right now, go back. I currently think that, go back to bonus. I'm sorry, guys. I currently believe that RG3 is a very good competitor, and he's better than half of the quarterbacks in the league. However, I think at this very moment, yes, that one. At this very moment, your boy is second to Russell Wilson. I'm just being honest.
Oh, boy. I can't believe you're getting
caught up. I don't know why you don't believe it, Jerry.
You're getting caught up in what's been happening over the last 4 weeks. Now, you got to understand something. Wait a minute. Listen. You got to understand something here. Russell Wilson, for the most part, has a better team around him, okay? Especially the defense. So the defense puts him in ideal situations to succeed. And the teams that he's been playing for the last 5 weeks, he's lost to one of them, which is Miami. Played Chicago, played Arizona, played Buffalo, and they showed out against San Francisco, who had a knockdown, drag-out fight the week before, I think on Sunday night or Monday night, whatever it was, against New England. So they may have gotten a weary San Francisco team, not to take any away from their win. Okay? Two of the last five games they played at home. Okay? And for the most part, they played weak quarterbacks. Miami, Chicago, Arizona, Buffalo, and San Francisco. Not exactly the top five of quarterbacks in the league. So temper what you say, because the fact is they had an ideal schedule going down the stretch of the season.
But their defenses they faced, who Russell Wilson faced, are all, well, I'd say four of them were top five defenses.
What?
That's what Russell Wilson
had. What?
San Fran, Arizona, they're not a top five defense?
No. Arizona, no. They were. I'm talking about, let me put it this way. He was put in so many ideal situations, and the defense, for the most part, won that game. He only threw one touchdown pass in that game in Arizona. He was 7-for-13 in that game, 148 yards. So what are you talking about?
I'm talking about.
And he played
Wilson
in Buffalo.
Those defenses.
What?
You got San Fran. When you play San Fran defense, what he did versus their defense was not easy. It wasn't easily done. And I think that's the team he scored the four touchdown passes on. He was put in great position. He was put in great position, but a lot of quarterbacks are put in great position but never capitalized. So, I mean, again, I'm just saying at this point.
Other than San Francisco, which I think were playing with extenuating circumstances, and they were playing at home. I told you, out of the last five games, they played Miami, Chicago, Arizona, and Buffalo. Temper what you're saying, because look at the opponents they were playing and the defenses they were playing against. Come on.
Chi-Town and San Fran's defense are weak? Really? Really? Come on now. You temper it, because that's the truth. You're telling me the San Fran and Chicago defense, two out of the three, weren't, you know, worthy defenses for them to face. Come on now. Buffalo either had a pretty decent defense, you know, they got crushed.
Buffalo has a lousy defense. Come on.
All right, so
come on.
I give you Miami. Buffalo is a fringe. And who is the fifth team?
I'm telling you, Miami, Chicago, Arizona, Buffalo, and the last game was San Francisco. The only legit team, I'm saying, because Chicago is on the verge. They're on the verge of losing their coach. If they don't get in the playoffs, they lose their coach. That's how bad they've been playing. So they may have won this game in Chicago, but it was a hard-fought game. I understand that. So two legit defenses, three very suspect defenses in Buffalo, Arizona, and Miami. They can't get that out of their own way, especially the quarterbacks.
Okay.
The defenses put the offense in great great field position. Whether they ran the ball, which Arizona and Buffalo and Miami were suspect against the run, and pass defense. So I understand what you're saying. He was playing better. You can't pick your opponents who you play against, but temper what you're saying because you got to also look at who he was playing against.
Oh, man. Young minds, and decrepit ones as well.
We'll see what happens, who their first round opponent is, and see how
he
does.
He's gonna get to see it up front and close in person.
I mean, that's gonna be very
because I think it's gonna be us in Seattle, and thank God we don't have to go out there to Seattle. I'm gonna tell you one thing: if Seattle had home field advantage, it would be over. I would just pick them to go to the Super Bowl. It's hard to go up there and beat them, real hard. It's like they drink super juice or something.
Yep.
When they get up there, they are just a monster up there. They looked all world against San Francisco at home.
Yep.
At home.
Yep.
Yeah. So like I'm saying, you gotta check a lot of what you're saying. I like the youngin. I love it. Because I love the way he plays. I like that. I like the way that a quarterback will play like that, scramble around, run, get a touchdown, throw a touchdown, do it all. But, Slim, this man come in for 1 year, and he has just totally ignited this whole city. All them fake bandwagon Redskin fans, you see all the Redskin coats and jackets and whatnot and rings and whatnot, everybody all out yapping about the Skins and not. Oh, come on, man. No. Ain't this no way. No way. Sorry.
Okay. Well, like I said, that's just my thought. I know we got to end the show. I got a paper I got to finish writing.
Well, I appreciate you, Mr. Garner, coming on here and getting bashed, but it's quite all right.
And we didn't even call you any names. We ain't call you no names.
See that?
We was
See
nice
that?
Tonight.
Yes.
We
yes.
heard you out.
And I appreciate it. Mikhail, I tried to come on your program because I wanted to listen to what you had to say yesterday. But was your program a two-hour program yesterday?
Yeah. It was three hours.
3 hours?
Yeah. We do the first 2 hours and then another, the other third in the overtime.
Oh, okay. See, I jumped on a little after 11 o'clock and lost it. So I'm going to definitely try to jump in next week. I don't know what you're talking about. But
it was a battle royal the other night, man. It was
is
a
that
battle
right?
royal.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. All the women on one side, all emotional and screaming on one side, and the men on the other side speaking logically.
Oh. Oh, boy. Oh, I want to join. This is last night?
Yeah, that was last night.
Oh, I should have jumped in. I wish I had remembered. I would have jumped in earlier on that one and enjoyed the conversation and all that emotion coming out.
Oh yeah. They were spilling it everywhere.
Okay. Okay. What are you going to be talking about? What were you talking about?
We were talking about a scenario that was posed on my page. It was about this young lady that was going out with a married guy. And
okay.
she basically absolved herself of any wrongdoing and basically pointed the finger all at him. Everything was his fault. And all the ladies were agreeing.
What?
And yeah. Oh yeah, man. Yeah, man.
I'd like to get in on that
man.
One. Wow.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh, we get messy like that.
Okay. Do you know what you're going to be talking about next week or no?
I have no idea.
Okay,
there's so
no
many
problem.
Different things that we're going to be going through. But, check us out every Wednesday night. We got a new time on Wednesday night now. It's 9 o'clock.
Okay. One of my New Year's, I wouldn't say resolutions, but New Year's resolve is to jump on that program and either listen or join the conversation if I have enough heart to do that.
Oh, I got your back. I got your back, sir.
Hey,
I got your back.
I got your back, sir. No problem.
Hey, you know what, Vic? Hey, you know what? I'm not even gonna say it. I'm gonna save my conversation for you on Saturday.
Why? You know what? You got 20 minutes. Get it out. Get off the chest.
No. I'm gonna save it. I'm gonna save my conversation for your show.
I'll say it like this.
For your show.
I'll say it like this, JT.
Mm-hmm.
99.
I was correct in my prognostication. The action was not correct, but it was corrected. And yet, everything is still like, well, where did this come from? I'm like, look, dude, just look at the full score, and it'll tell you.
You know what? I know you're trying to pull me into this conversation, but I'm going to wait for Saturday because all I can say is you're gonna have to wait until Saturday to find out my feelings on this because and I have some very strong feelings on it, extremely strong feelings.
So what, you're not coming back next year? You're not coming back next year?
No. I have some very strong feelings on it, and Saturday. At 1 o'clock, when I join you as your co-host, you will know what my feelings are.
So, are we going to have an issue?
Well, it's only an issue if Too Sweet makes it an issue.
Oh,
for real? You gonna go there for real? All right, old guy. You just checked into the Heartbreak Hotel. I'm going to give you some sweet chin music. It's going down.
Here we go. See that? You know, Macau, I don't know if it's whether your brother is, I mean, your cousin is on the left coast now or whether, but he's become very sensitive. He's become very sensitive. And I don't quite understand it. He takes a lot of things personal. But that's okay. I have to understand the mentality of a left coast man. So I understand that.
Oh, for real? Is that how you roll? Oh, how you rolling, Jerry? I got you.
With that being said, Mr. Gardner, I know Mikel, his program starts at 9 o'clock. On Wednesday, every Wednesday,
yep.
Grown Soul and Real Talk on Block Talk Radio. Look him up on Facebook at Grown Soul and Real Talk. And I'm definitely going to start checking you out and joining the conversation because
you're going to be checking him out, Jerry? That didn't sound right.
Excuse me?
You're going to be checking him out? That didn't sound right, Jerry.
I'm going to check his program out. Come on, man. Don't even try to go there. Don't even try that. Don't even try that. You know, that was weak. That was very weak.
Because I'm going to need you to step and walk in to the family man type of circle, bro. I'm going to need you to do that. I mean, because you've been there, man. You've been there. It's like you walking right out the jump. It's like you're growing a little mini manjana over there. I mean, what's going on?
Oh, for real?
For real?
How you rolling?
Yeah.
Wow.
You breaking my heart over here, man. You breaking my heart. I'm over here crying, man. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with you, man. You sitting up here talking about RGB like he some bum or something compared to that other dude, Russell Wilson, man. I'm like, what in the world?
I didn't say that. All I said was that, you know, at this present time, Mr. Three has been outplayed.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. You get to see it up close and personal when they come to FedEx Field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. With that being said,
I'm pulling for my skins. Don't get me wrong. I'm pulling for them. But I'm just keeping it real.
Mr. Gardner, you want to promo your show before we get out of here?
Oh, of course. every show that comes on this airway is top-notch quality. High quality H2O. Now, you're listening to the FSP Pro Show, hosted by JCATM Money, Jeff the Joker, and Black the Bookie. And right now, the Parley Palace champion, FSP. Then tomorrow, you'll get the Mac. I don't know if I'm black. Being
Oh my God. Wow.
And Jerry.
Wow. You need to call. Before you go any further.
He come back alive every now and again.
Yeah.
Come back
You need to call in tomorrow and say the same thing you said.
I said it last week.
Okay.
Yeah, I said it last week when y'all was trying to clown me.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, and then on Fridays you have Mac Williams and Jerry ATM Taylor with No Chaser. They say all types of wild, idiotic stuff on that show, but sometimes very often, there's some real good stuff on that show, but it makes you say, not like Arsenio Hall, but gets you thinking, motivated to do some things. Come Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Fantasy Sports and Politics. That will be me, Ms. FSP, co-hosted by the geriatric one that's on the phone, ATM, Jerry Taylor. He's got some choice words for me Saturday. It's all good. I got my leather strap. I'm about to change his name to Toby. You know, he ain't going to be Coonton no more. He's going to be Toby. Then, on Sunday, the master plan, the man with the master plan, and I'm really hoping that you start talking about baseball in like a month or so.
I'm definitely going to do that. That's not a problem. I'm definitely going to start doing that. Baseball is going to be talked about right after the Super Bowl is over with. So I'm going to be mixing baseball and football into my conversations on Sunday.
Okay. Well, the master plan is just that. Who's the man with the master plan? The black Jew with the gun. That's not the way the words go, but I had to clean it up because this is the crew show. That show comes on 10 a.m., which was truly JT hosting. Now, I know my girl Kim won't be back from climbing Mount Everest for another month, but on Tuesdays when she comes back, she's going to be a full bonded, blooded monk. Or I don't know what they call the female version, but she'll be one of those. So that's Tuesday.
And that's a rarity. That's a rarity.
Oh, yeah.
That's a rarity.
Rarity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we're all looking forward to. I want to congratulate her on that. But that's all I got to promo. I'm going to let you guys do what you do as I finish my paper on child development. So,
is that an autobiography?
I mean, it is for my master's in human relations, Jack, but it's my final paper for my class that I'm taking. And actually, Mike, and this with my cousin, I used a lot of my family history in these case studies because we...
Really?
Not really. But
I'm proud of you. That's how you want to get down with it. That's wonderful.
They don't know
that's
who
wonderful.
These people are, but
right.
we're Caucasian and all this other stuff. But
I
use a lot of scenarios. Anyway,
I've used millions of family scenarios and different things on Grown Soul, as well as in poems I've written. And I've even started the poems. I'll be like, yo, I'm about to tell y'all all my family business. Don't be going back and telling nobody. Straight up. And I'll give one little caveat to one real quick. And now in 1972, as I was sitting in my mama's stomach, my mama was walking in the district courthouse with her mother, you know, because of some crime she committed. And as she was walking with her, lo and behold, this other prisoner come out It's her father. Family time, what? Slim. Family time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Pimpin. Oh, yeah, Pimpin.
Who's
I know you didn't know anything like that. That's why I'm the elder.
Oh, shut up, you old dude.
Oh, boy.
Preface that, sir. I'm the grown one. Grown soul.
You said elder. You were right. You're the old guy.
Right. I'm the elder, which means I'm grown, and I speak real. Grown soul, real talk.
Talk.
Oh, hey, hey. Hey, that's me.
Anyway, in the show, Jerry.
Anyway,
I
always enjoy the conversation between you two. And
that's why
look,
you called
look.
Me up. That's why you hit me up while I was doing my paper. You wanted me to argue with my cousin.
You ain't nothing but one of them
to be some carnage type person.
No, that's not it at all. But no one knew you would take it that way. But that's it is what it is. So
exactly. Thank you. It is what it is.
Yes.
And trust me, Vic, I done put all our family business out. So it's all out. It don't even matter. It's all out.
With that being said, I appreciate you guys coming on the show and expressing your opinions. Have a healthy and safe New Year. If I don't talk to you again, Macau, I will be talking to Vic before the year's out. And you will be catching me on Grown Soul and Real Talk at 9 o'clock on Wednesday night.
Yep, 9 o'clock on Wednesday night.
Next
nine
show is the
Wednesday.
Second of the year. The second of the year.
No,
it'll
check
it out.
And I will be there. So if you want to promo the show, go right ahead, and then we get out of here.
Grown Soul and Real Talk every Wednesday at 9 p.m. We also have a show on Tuesday night. We're gonna be discussing this the MSNBC analyst who proposed that, you know, in the wake of the Newton shootings, he proposed that more white men be profiled, and sparked up a big brouhaha on a lot of conservative talk shows and stuff like that. So we're gonna chop it up about that. You might
really?
Want to get in on that one. Yeah, you might want to get in on that one, Jerry.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
I'll
send you the link. I'll send you the link to the article on Salon.com.
Wow. Yeah, I got it. I got to hear that one. I didn't hear about that. Wow.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
It was messy.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I'm out of here along with my two associates and two co-hosts here. We'll talk to you on the other side of the new year, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're out.
Hey.
Yeah. It's Mr. Anka. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on.